Hi there, it's Ronnie here, and today we're going to talk about optimizing your website using a multivariate or A/B testing. This is especially for you if you're considering a few different versions of your landing page, or if you're not sure about the color of your background, or if you're hesitating between a few options of text copy to your homepage. In this case, a multivariate test or an A/B test, which is also known as split test or website checking, can be exactly what you need. Because with A/B testing, you don't have to shoot in the dark. You can actually perform a test to optimize your website. And the great part is that it even works well with a small budget. So today we're going to talk about how to find the version of your website that performs best. There are several platforms in the market that offer a one-stop shop to A/B and multivariate testing, and most of them are not cheap. So in this post, I'm going to describe how to do it yourself to avoid these costs. The do-it-yourself method uses Google Content Experiment as the test platform for either A/B testing or multivariate testing, and it's free. The only costs associated are the cost of designing and operating the website, and we're going to go over all of them pretty soon. Now, if you follow the steps below, you will be able to create an awesome A/B and multivariate experiment. And the steps are: define goals and metrics, choose variables, design the website, input tracking code, get visitors to all the websites, and then find the results. So let's start. The first step, as I said, is defining your goals and metrics. And this is super important because otherwise, how will you know which design or website is the best? Well, you have to look at your business and define your goals according to what you want people to do on the site. For example, do you want people to subscribe to your newsletter? Do you want people to purchase a product? Do you want to just maximize the number of pages viewed, maximize time on site? Whatever. You have to take a good look at your website and think to yourself, what are the goals of these websites and what are the relevant metrics that can measure these goals? Now, it's important to define these metrics well because it's a live experiment. It means you can't go asking people what they think about a website. The only way to actually decide which version was best is going to be by comparing those metrics, so make sure you define them well. Some metrics you can look at are time spent on page, number of pages viewed, click on purchase link or checkout link, add item to shopping cart, subscribe to newsletter, share an article, like a page, and more. In addition to those metrics, which are predefined, you will also be able sometimes to track other metrics, such as hour of the day in which the visitor arrived to your website, the region, the browser they used, the device they used, whether it's mobile, PC, and so on. And in some cases, you will also have access to additional demographic details. Okay, so we now got to the second step, which is the variable choice. And variable choice is one of the hardest part of the experiment. Why? Because there are so many elements that could be affecting the visitor experience to your site. Now, since testing all of these elements is not practical and time-consuming, you want to prioritize and choose those variables, those elements in your site that you think have some sort of chance of having an effect on the visitor engagement. Now, even though you should decide on these variables before starting to build a website and running the experiment, you have to keep an open mind because anything can happen, and as results start showing up, you will see that some variables that you thought were important will provide no insight, and some variables that you didn't think of including hint at some sort of insight. So be flexible about the option of changing your variables on the go. Now, there are endless options to what you can have as variable in the test, and I will give you some ideas, but you don't have to work with these ideas. It's very important that you work with the variables that make sense to you. So the first one is background color or design. Then we have different titles and slogans. We have different text copy, different settings of elements inside a page, social endorsement icons, presence of a video, Flash versus HTML, and so on. After you're done defining the variables, you are now ready to move to the next step, which is the actual website design. Now, it's important to make sure that other than the special variations you chose, which are your variables, the design of the website has to remain standard and appealing to the visitors. There are countless tools you can use to design your website, and it doesn't matter if you do it yourself, if you outsource it, if you have someone in-house doing it. It doesn't matter at all. Just choose a platform that fits your resources and you feel comfortable with. One example that you can see in the blog post is what I used. It's a software called Artisteer, and it's pretty convenient. It costs only $49, and you can make as many websites as you want, and it's pretty straightforward too. You can go to my post and download a free trial of the software. As you can see, if you go to the blog post, you will see screenshots of the software and of the different websites I designed for the experiment. And I will share with you which were the three variables that I chose to use for the experiment. The first one was the main element on the landing page. Would it be text, video, or image? I wanted to see which land page performed best, one that had image, text, or video. So that's my first variable, and it has three options. The second variable is the size of the product seller. Because this is an affiliate website, it actually sells a product and the checkout is on another website. In this case, either in Amazon.com or on Fitbit.com. Obviously, Amazon.com is a big famous retailer. Fitbit.com is relatively an anonymous retailer, so I wanted to see if there is any difference in engagement and in purchase rate whether we used Amazon.com or Fitbit.com. So that's my second variable. The third variable is the presence of a Facebook like button showing over 1,000 likes for the product. So I wanted to test whether the presence of such a button will have an effect on visitor engagement because other people see that over 1,000 people like this. This choice of variables dictates building 12 websites. Why? Because I have three variations for the first variable, two for the second, and two for the third. So it's 3 × 2 × 2 = 12. When you go to the blog post, you can see a table that says exactly what's going on in each one of the website variations. And you can also see the images, and in the images you can see that all the variations are very similar to each other. There's only one small change between each variation to the other. It's very subtle, and this is what you do in a multivariate test. You want to test all the different options against each other. Okay, that was step number three, designing the website. The fourth step is tracking the website visitors. Because in order to follow visitors' behavior on the website, you have to put some sort of tracking code to know what people did, what did they click on, how much time they spent on site, and so on. In this experiment, in my case, I used three different tracking tools. I used Google Analytics, and then I used OpenTracker.com and WebStat.net. You have the links to both of these services in the blog post. They are kind of interchangeable. You can use either one, but just try both of them and see which one works better for you. They both have 1 month free, so if you manage to run your experiment within a month, you can get out of this for free. Otherwise, you will have to pay, I think it's either $5, $10, or $20 to each one of them. Why did I use both these services in addition to Google Analytics? Because Google Analytics is good if you're looking for overall performance and don't care too much about statistical validity or about running your own statistical analysis. If you want to run your own statistical analysis, you need one of these platforms which gives you individual visit data, while Google doesn't give you individual visit data. Why? Because the privacy settings on Google are such that they are not allowed to give you individual data, but the other tracking softwares, they give you this data. So if you need to run regressions, ANOVAs, and stuff like that, like I wanted to do, you definitely need to have one of these services. They also give you click paths, which is the exact sequence of clicks a visitor went through, which is pretty interesting. You can see where your visitors went. And if you want to take this a step forward, you can also use a service called ClickTail. ClickTail is more expensive, but it actually gives you exact scrolling and movement of cursor of your visitors and also heat maps, which suggest which parts of your websites were most visible to your visitors. But I didn't use that because I didn't need this for the experiment. Basically, what you do is after you open an account with each one of them, either OpenTracker or website or Google Analytics, you get a tracking code. It's an HTML code that you need to paste into all the pages of your website. What you do then, you open the HTML files of all the pages on your website and you paste it into them. And the next step is to make sure that the code works. What I did is I manually visited each one of the pages of the websites In my case, it was 72 pages because I have 12 websites and each one of them has 6 pages. I went to each one of the pages and clicked on it and then later logged into OpenTracker to see that each one of these visits was recorded, and the same for Webstat and for Google Analytics. So that was step 4. After you're done pasting and verifying that all the tracking codes work, you're now ready for step number 5, which is getting website visitors to all the variations. The fastest way to bring real website traffic is through online advertising campaign. And a common one to use, which is the one I use in the example, is Google Search and Google Display Network advertising. But there are countless other platforms you could use, including very popular platforms from Yahoo, Bing, and more. If you're not familiar with Google AdWords, these are the ads that you see when you type a query into Google and you see the ads that come out on the side and on top. So these are the search ads, and the display network ads are the ones that you see as little text boxes when you go into a website. Both of these ads are PPC, which means pay-per-click. You only pay once someone clicks on your ad and goes to your website, which is good because you don't want to waste advertising money on this experiment without having actual visitors coming to your website. Whatever platform you choose to use, whether it's the Google AdWords or anything else, make sure you read the tutorials and get comfortable with the system before you start advertising so you know what you're doing and you maximize your budget and don't spend too much. Now, we have 12 different websites, and we want to be able to send visitors to 12 different URLs. How can we do that? There are two main methods to do that. The first method is to create 12 different ads on Google AdWords. Each one of them will have the exact same content, the same ad copy, but will have a different URL. And then you go to settings and ask Google to rotate ads evenly. That means that Google will serve the ads sort of equally, and you're supposed to get a similar amount of clicks on all ads. But the problems with that is that A, it's a little bit clumsy and complicated, and the second part is that by chance it's possible that people will click on one ad more than the other, even though they're completely identical, and you can't control that. The other method, which is smarter and ensures a more equal number of people arriving to all the variations, is using a Google Content Experiment. A Google Content Experiment allows you to randomize the page to which the visitors arrive, which means you have one ad that shows one URL. Everybody sees the URL that says, let's say, website 1, but when they click on it, some visitors will arrive at website 2, some visitors will arrive at website 7, etc. And Google also stores a cookie on the visitor's browser, so whenever they come back to the site, either through an ad or just by refreshing the page or going back to the URL, they will always see the same website they saw. For example, if they clicked on the ad and Google served them with website number 4, whenever they will click your URL, they will see website number 4, so they have no idea that they are part of an optimization experiment. In addition to randomizing the sites that people see, Google Content Experiment also allows you to set specific targets to compare the different websites, and it will tell you which variation is the winner after a predefined time or number of visitors. But you can define metrics over there such as predefined conversions, which means something that you predefined, for example, subscribers to your list or a click on a specific link and so on. You can define things like specific time. For example, you can say that if a visitor spent more than 60 seconds on the site, you define this as a success or as a conversion. And then Google Content Experiment will compare all the variations according to the number of success events, which means the number of people that spent more than 60 seconds in your site, according to this example. Now, using the method of Google Content Experiment requires adding a few additional lines of HTML, but it's very straightforward. You just get the code, Google Experiment explains to you exactly where to paste it, and you paste it into your file, upload it to the server, and that's it. Now, here's a question I often get asked about getting visitors to your website. And people ask me, should I use my Twitter, Facebook, or email to promote the site and get visitors without paying for a service like Google AdWords? And my answer is, at this point, absolutely not. You want the real reaction of visitors, people who don't know you, don't care about you, and are judging the product only by what they see on the website. You can send your site to people you know in two different stages. One is before you run the experiment, especially in the stage when you're trying to define your variables. It could be pretty cool to send your website to a few people and ask them for suggestions. What do they think should be changed in the site? And then you can take those suggestions and use them as variables in the experiment. For example, if one friend says you should have a black background and one friend says, oh, you should have an orange background. So you can use background as a variable and have an option of black, an option of orange, and see which one performs better on the test. The second stage in which you can definitely send your website URL to your friends and your network is when you're done with the experiment and you have a winner, you have a version that you decided to use, then by all means just spread the word about your website. But at this stage of the testing, you want things to be as objective as possible, and you don't want to mix your friends or followers with the reactions you get from the general public that comes through the Google Ads. Another common question is, can I use Facebook advertising instead of Google advertising? And my answer is, at this point, which is the end of 2013, Facebook advertising doesn't work well with randomized links, such as the ones that are generated by Google, because basically you give Facebook or Google, you give them one URL, but the script randomizes the page that people actually see, and Facebook thinks that's spam. So not only will it not work, your domain will be listed on Facebook as spam, and you don't want that to happen. So maybe in the future it will work. At this point, stay away from Facebook advertising if you're doing a Google experiment. Now, let's talk a little bit about budgeting the experiment, because I'm sure that by now you're thinking, okay, how much does all of this cost? Especially the part of bringing visitors. So if you don't have a domain name and a hosting package, you can check out 1&1 domain names and iPage hosting, which are pretty cheap and convenient, and you have the links on the blog post. But whatever service you choose to use, it should not cost you more than $60 for a year of hosting and a domain name. Since you're trying to optimize your website, I can also assume that you already have a domain name and a hosting plan, so that's probably a cost that you should not be considering at this point. Other expenses include the website design itself can range between $50 to $5,000, whatever your choice of design is. If you choose to use the Artisteer software that I mentioned, it's going to be $49, but that's of course up to you. One thing that's very important to remember in design is the use of images. You can't just use an image that you download from Google or wherever in the web unless you have a permission to use it. You have to have a royalty-free picture, and there are countless websites of stock photos, stock images that sell cheap royalty-free image. One of them, which I work with, and you can see the link in my site, is 123rf.com, and you can find their royalty-free image for even $1.50. In the example that I used 4 images, so the total cost was $6. Then we have the tracking services. We have Google Analytics and Google Content Experiment, which are both free. You have Open Tracker and Webstat, which are both free to try for the first month, and then you have to pay $20 or $10 respectively according to the plan that you want. The large cost is obviously the advertising, because as I said, you pay each time someone clicks on a link to go to your website. And when I advertised, I paid about $200 and got 750 visitors to the websites. In the experiment I described in the example, I paid about $200 and got 750 visitors to the website. Yet advertising cost depends on so many things like the competition, industry, and the settings that you put in there. So the advertising cost is pretty flexible. The total for me was about $330, including the domain name and the hosting. And I will be happy to hear if you have ideas on how to minimize these costs or what you think the actual costs are. Please write a comment or write to me. After you're done with everything we've talked about so far, defining the goals, defining the variables, designing the websites, putting the tracking code, and getting website visitors, it's time to look at the actual results. You can either choose the variation which Google Content Experiment defined as the winner according to the metrics you set, or you can export the data you got from Open Tracker or from Webstat and take it into a statistics software to run your analysis over there. In the example that I use both here and in the post, I took the data out of Open Tracker and imported it into a statistics software where I ran some regressions, ANOVAs, MANOVAs, and so on. And I actually found out that my sample size was too small. the statistics software hinted they should go back and get more visitors. So I ended up collecting a total of 1,140 visitors in order to run a significant analysis. And what I got were the following four insights. First of all, the presence of a Facebook like button had no effect whatsoever on engagement. The websites that had this button did not perform better than the ones that didn't. The second insight was regarding the retailer size. There was no difference whatsoever between engagement with websites that had Amazon.com as the retailer or Fitbit.com as the retailer. The third insight was that the pages that had infographics, actually images, performed way better than the websites that had either text or video, which kind of performed similar to each other. There was no significant difference between text and video, but the ones that had images were way more successful. And the last insight, which is not related to the variables that I said but was still out there, was that PC users on average spent 22 more seconds on the website than mobile users, which when you think about it, it's pretty obvious. People with a computer have a higher attention span than people on their mobiles, which are often on the go just doing something. So the final version was chosen according to this insight. And again, this is not to say that these results can be generalized to all other websites. It's so specific to the website, the industry, and the purpose. But this is just an example to show you what kind of insights can be gathered. So I hope you enjoyed this post and that you learned from it about running an A/B and multivariate experiment. Feel free to write to me if you have any additional questions or need help running your own experiment or anything else. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.